banana!
No sugar.
Up, up and up then.
If it isn't the Simps.
So, do you like
Yeah. Since the last time I spit it, I got more fight.
Please refrain from this.
More acidic, more
we
twist
are not wieners.
Than a grapevine. I'm still tossing brew back. Take five. Lotto jackpot. Put me on Morocco backdrop. Go on Blotto on the black top. You can't stop the unstoppable. Break the unbreakable. Pitch black got the draw. You erasable. But I'ma let you do this. I got that Neo soul. Let Keanu do. So give me the red pill. I'm stacking 10 bills till I get 10 mil. You going nowhere, treadmill. I got the legacy dropping like a pigeon. I'm a young man.
When you hear hey, you know what that means? It's another episode of Eat My Shorts, the Simpsons podcast, number one podcast with historians, number one Simpsons podcast, I believe, and you're listening to one of the top two number one hosts in America. This is Nacho Nova, America's Notch. Hello.
Number two, very innuendy, Irving Castellanos. Hello, everybody. Eat My Shorts back again, this time for the 99th episode.
Damn. Oh, shit. That's the first thing that's ever gone wrong.
You're unloading your gun, your Glock?
Yeah, normally that's supposed to produce an air horn sound. There we go. Jesus Christ.
You didn't give the air horn.
What can you do, right? Hey, times are tough a little bit for like industries all over America. Podcasting is one of them. But we're doing what we can, trying to maintain the rightful Austin podcast. You know, many people come for that.
Yeah.
By the way, we got to give some credit for, you know it, folks, Pitch Black. That was them doing a cover of Next Episode by Dr. Dre. Check it out, folks.
Very 1999-y.
And, yeah, don't sue us, Pitch Black. Come on. I think, you know, we're keeping our lawyer busy enough right now as it is.
Yeah, keeping up with these Sidney Powell updates.
Yeah, shout out to Cole Battle. So, yeah, and by the way, we did just both have our interviews for Vice President. I personally thought my interview went real well. We're still waiting for the results. I mean, the boss has been out this week on unrelated issues. But, you know, we have to wait for everything to clear, all right? And we have Cole Battle. He's going in there. He's
pouring over the results.
Yeah. He's just making sure all of the points were counted, you know?
You have to let the system have its due. And I'm confident that at the end, justice will be served.
Yeah, because, you know, if you don't have justice, you can't have a business. That's just where my head is at on the whole issue.
What is more, what do you call it? What's the word for justice? What's more than that than corporations?
Yeah, that's a good question. Hey, folks, and listen.
Fair and balanced.
The thing is, like, with a couple of Simpsons experts on the show, like, on the ones and twos here, you know you're getting a lot of good insight into the subject matter, which, of course, is The Simpsons. The number one best TV show on planet Earth, quite frankly.
Sneeze, they call us. Subject matter experts.
Yeah. Personally, I like to consider myself a Simpsons wonk.
A wonky.
I'm also, like, a Simpsons pundit, personally, like, if you ask me.
I like all these different types of versions of words.
It's in my bio. It's on my LinkedIn. You can check it out.
Link in bio. I love it. Yeah. Hashtag my latest.
Click the link below. But folks, podcasts, we're devoted to the medium. They are primarily an audio thing, and you can get them in an RSS feed. Let's get into some specifics.
We have been doing more visual shows, and most of that has been because we've been doing basically since the start of the third season. Has kind of been a remote season for us with very few exceptions. So something that's come out of that is we have been doing a lot more visual stuff. So I guess it is the visual podcast now too.
That's true, folks. The viewers enjoy themselves. This is the feedback we get. And you can send us letters as well. Like, we like to read them on the show. It's eatmyshortspod@gmail.com. Send us some. And, you know,
are those videos, are they on the Patreon, Nacho?
Yeah, and it's like on our YouTube channel too. Like some, I don't think, I think the majority of that stuff is up for free. I've only, there's like only a few videos up on the Patreon behind the paywall. But yeah, we're just like really gracious. So a lot of it's up on our YouTube channel. Eat My Shorts, but I'm sure you can find it. I'll put that in the show notes.
But there's also free videos. You know how that works.
It's the best deal you're ever going to find in podcasting, honestly. Try and find a better deal. If you do, we're going to give you your money back. But there's like a lot of loopholes you got to get through too. So
we'll show you the terms once you get there. But first, try both.
Please, folks. Yeah, it's really complicated. We don't have time for it in the show. But yeah, Patreon, we'll get into like all of the legalese in our Patreon-exclusive podcast. And by the way, I never promote this. There is a Patreon-exclusive podcast that I just learned how to add to my podcast feed. It's called the podcast that we do for Patreon is called Behind the Laughter. And you can add it right into your damn whatever thing you use to listen to podcasts.
So they just, as long as they have access to the Patreon or whatever, all they have to do is click add to?
Yeah, yeah. That was that link I gave you last week or what I think whenever it was.
Because previous to that, I would have to log into like our Patreon account to be able to listen to the stuff that you would upload. But you're saying it can just now be in my whatever Spotify feed or whatever wherever I listen.
Yeah, I think that's been a thing the whole time. I just lost the link and never bothered to look for it.
The technology podcast. We're learning as we go, folks.
Hey, and speaking of learning as we go, you listeners are going to learn a lot as you go through this episode 99 of Eat My Shorts. And you're probably wondering what episode we're covering. It's episode 99 of The Simpsons. You're going to learn a lot. This is Burns' heir. Oh my gosh. I'm freaking pumped. I'm overstimulated. I'm going to have to lay down for the remainder of the recording.
Record from your bed?
I don't feel so good.
I'm going to lay down and try to breathe as little as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ask me yes or no questions and space them out once every like 15 minutes or so.
I'll use some of the nacho drops I have.
Yeah, please. That's got to, I'm sure that that's in my contract. I'll be covered. Now I'm stimulated because this is like a fucking interesting episode of The Simpsons, if I may say that. I don't want to spoil anything. Okay. Hey, do you want to hear some stats, by the way? I don't know what, why am I like pussyfooting around the stats? Let's get into some stats. So this is The Simpsons, of course, we know that. Episode 99, production code 1F16. If you guessed something else, you were wrong. Original air date of this episode, April 14th, 1994. This was, the showrunner for this was David Merkin. This is written by Jace Richdale and directed by famous Mark Kirkland, our boy.
I think we've probably done the most... Out of the show, the episodes that we've done, have probably done the most Mark Kirkland episodes.
You're not wrong, right? Like, if we were to do a spreadsheet on that, it would probably be, who do you think our number one and two would be? It'd be Mark Kirkland and then probably Wes Archer.
Yep, that's what I would say.
You've attained the rank of Pussy Willow.
Woo!
Thank you, Flanders.
This calls for a celebration.
I agree with that logic.
This was the reign of The Simpsons in, that many consider to be the golden years.
And kind of fitting for that is a conversation that we've had in previous episodes and with like the beginning of the show or whatever, like the opening scene or animation. And it was at the plant. It was that plant shot. You heard the crows, or I guess they were grackles.
Yeah, that's what we hear at least around Grackle Studio. You know, it's very welcoming, and it does sound very similar. I do consider myself to be.
Birds fool you.
What's that?
It's like, don't let the menacing birds fool you.
No, folks, you just have to like meet the animal on its own terms. You know, you have to see the animal for it to trust you.
Let the bird smell your hand and get accustomed to you before you try to pet it.
Absolutely, folks.
Let's get silly.
Wait, but before we get silly, I just like to like impart to the audience the importance of this episode. Everything that The Simpsons had writing on it, how much they advertised during this period. Remember how they were hyping The Simpsons hitting episode 100, like, hardcore. What is this, season 5, right?
Yeah, season 5. I watched this in our show prep, and then I just kept watching it because season 5 is so good. I just kept, like, the episodes going. But, yes, I enjoyed this episode. It felt super classic-y.
And I think if I'm not wrong, I don't know if this is like the way it is anymore, but like probably not. I mean, the TV landscape's all different. But once you had 100 episodes in a TV show, you could syndicate it and then you earn money on it forever.
Repeating syndication. I think that's still how it works, right? 5 seasons? Or it just depends on episode. Doesn't matter about seasons.
Seriously, I have no idea. I just thought it was like 100 episodes, but I don't know how long that can take, right? If you're like one of those Curb Your Enthusiasms or something that doesn't have a bunch of episodes, you could take forever.
When I was growing up, this show was so popular that it would be syndicated 4 times a day. Actually, I think it may have been 6 times a day in Dallas. It would be like, it would have 5, 5:30, 6, 6:30, and then 10 and 10:30. It was fucking 3 hours of different syndicated episodes.
Yeah, same thing for El Paso. It was like you could see about that many episodes per day between Fox, the WB or UPN, and I think one of the like Telemundo or something like TVS.
I was gonna say is like you probably also had like double episodes because you were getting the ones from Juarez.
Yeah,
that did Spanish,
and sometimes they would do 2 in a row too. You know. of course, these were some of the episodes that ran frequently in the golden era of The Simpsons. But popping this one on, you know, of course, but I know exactly which episode this is going into it. But, you know, it's like consider like the sport of boxing and consider like one example of a good boxer to be Muhammad Ali. This episode is like Muhammad Ali, and I'm like one of the dopes that the nameless dopes that he fought and murdered in the ring, you know?
Boxcar guys.
This is a relentless episode.
Good jokes, start strong, never lets up.
I'm turning slowly turning the pages for my notes.
You didn't realize that it got to 22 minutes or whatever so quickly, because you're right, like it was just fucking 100 miles an hour.
Hell no. What was the... I don't even remember the couch gag. It's so far behind me that's old news. The Pledge of Allegiance does not end with Hail Satan. That's a damn good one.
Well, we could have a debate about that.
You know, it's not the Constitution. I think we could probably pull some strings, right?
Pull something.
My boy, Grandpa Joe, or what's his name?
Grandpa Joe.
Lazy Joe. What is it called?
Sleepy Joe.
Oh, okay. Lion Joe. Sleepy Lion Joe. Lion Ted Cruz. I'm sorry. I'm getting confused.
Yeah.
The couch, the Simpsons were all basketballs. It was like a Looney Tunes, like Space Jam or something. You know?
They were all bouncing into the couch?
Yeah.
Anybody not make it?
Somebody remained a basketball for very long, Maggie or something, and they had to like rope her in, you know? I think. I don't know.
Her on their thumb or whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to end up in the top 10 of all Simpsons couch gags. I'm sorry.
Number one, when the big human foot hits him and squishes him.
That's your favorite?
That's one of them. I have a foot thing. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, like Quentin Tarantino. I don't know. That'd be fun. Like, if we had one, and unfortunately, we have one more top 10 list. This is going to be the last top 10 with a list that we do leading up to episode 100, but we did not think of doing top 10 couch gags. So maybe leading up to episode 200, folks.
Yeah. Just wait another 6 to 8 weeks.
Several years. When we're like 24 or something.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. By then, we won't be in our early 20s anymore.
Barely, just barely. Well, okay, yeah, the power plant was awesome. It was boring and then super awesome.
Okay, so we had the plant shot. Homer's falling asleep at his job. Nothing's good's ever happening for him there. he doesn't want to do his job, obviously. He's ready to go to sleep. And then a big where the fuck did those people come from?
I don't know. It was like Publishers Clearinghouse. You know, they get let into the building and then they just pounce on you right at the last moment.
It's a generic businessman guy, traveling salesman, that's trying to sell you shit.
And like the bikini Price is Right, like presentation lady. The lady that it's unclear whether or not she comes with the car.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was like, it looked like the OU lady. She was back.
Hey, Homer was jazzed. They presented him, you know, I mean, what a celebration.
He won the employee raffle. Fucking Burns. This is like how he gets laughs at the times. Berating his employees and mistreating them.
God, yeah, this is like the draft, you know? This is like not a raffle you want to win a chimney sweep for a day.
He thought about it, though. He wondered if it was good or not. He still get the approval.
It still sounded good.
Yeah. He said we still want something.
Well, Homer's comfort, as he was, you know, wearing that fluffy suit to clean the plant chimney, his logic was, you know, the bosses must have it harder, you know.
It looked like they just put, like, a bunch of, like, dirty welcome mat rugs around his body. The chimney, the industrial chimney sweep was, like, super, like, 1890s, like, London shit. Like, it was, like, Oliver Twist or something. Or, I don't know, Mary Poppins. It's just very old school joke, right?
Yeah, like having to do his laundry.
Yeah, but then Homer's like, well, oh, well. He's like, the big guys at the top work harder. And then they just show Burns chilling in the executive washroom.
Being bathed by Smithers, you know, he's got it all.
Got the sponge. Oh, but the sponge was too cornery. It's too pointy.
Oh, and also much too heavy, you know, dangerously heavy. When Smithers goes to get the spherical sponge, he puts the regular one on Burns' top hat, and it's too much for him to bear.
That was just so comical for me because I'm like, well, wouldn't the top hat be heavy too? Put the sponge on top, It was just too much. The combination of both is really what did it.
It was because it was soaked with water, you know, that adds just like a percentage-wise, that's just so much more weight for Burns.
You're right. You ever try to pick up a sponge that's full of water?
Not happening. I can barely wash a car by hand.
Yeah, if it was underneath my hand, I couldn't pick my hand up. He has like a weird like flashback. I guess he was seeing like his life flash before his eyes because he was dying or drowning. And he was seeing like all the times he's been bad to people, starting from when I guess his nanny or whatever.
He fired her. Hey, this is probably where our president got his catchphrase from Mr. Burns. The Simpsons predicted it.
Excellent.
He also crippled an Irishman, I recall, from a different episode.
Was it? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's not the hobo. He was making that hobo dance, and the hobo had a rope belt on.
He had to load the firearm with the gunpowder manually.
It's taking like 30 seconds in between fires.
How old is this guy?
They're dancing. He wasn't waving gravy.
Yeah. He told him he wasn't waving gravy. He was smoking harmless tobacco.
He was pretty nimble at the time, it looked like.
Well, he could swim away. He had some strength as a human being, even though by this point he looked like he was 70, 80 years old.
To use his hands to swim his way away. That's true. That's a lot of effort for an old man.
You know how, like, in the modern episodes of The Simpsons, they have something completely unrelated in the right before the credits? Like, it's about maybe 30 seconds or something. Mm-hmm. It'd have been fun, like, in this episode, if that was a component of these classic episodes, like in the credits, just have Mr. Burns, you know, in the 70s smoking his bong or something, you know, that'd be fun.
Oh, like show him how all the stuff he did undercover?
Yeah.
To stay in Greenpeace? You're talking about, like, the conclusion and they just show, like, random, like, animation stills, right, or whatever?
Yeah, some sort of disjointed bit from any point in the episode that's just a tag on the end.
The one I'm thinking of is, like, Mo as the fan man saving people after the Tatum fight.
Oh, yeah, that was an early one. That's true. Yeah, something like that with Hippie Burns here.
That would be really cool. I want to see him, like, well, I guess I'm sure one time he got tricked into smoking real tobacco. I mean, yeah, real tobacco.
Probably, right. At least by Homer's mom, right? Or, no, he was never, or maybe Marge's mom. I don't know. Listen, it gets complicated.
One of the moms.
Smithers, he comes and rescues Burns right before the very end. He does think that Burns has passed away. The good die young. That's the proof. That's all the proof he needs.
It made Burns feel hella mortal, and he's just realizing that he doesn't have anybody to carry his legacy because of his shitty sperm from the plant.
Oh, yeah. Everybody but Smithers pretty much at the plant has fucked up sperm.
Oh, yeah. Smithers is super, what did you call it? Virality? Vitality.
You know, he must listen to a cool podcast like Eat My Shorts because I heard there was a study that people who listen to our show are very virile and vital.
Firm. And or whatever other juice.
Yeah, it's good for your humors, as we say here on the show. Our show medics like to say that to us.
Was Smithers implying that he wanted to keep Burns' money?
Smithers wanted Burns to... Yeah, bequeath everything to him because he's his caretaker. Like, he was conspicuously clearing his throat when...
He had that little smug smile on his face.
Mr. Burns, he picked up on it, but he has a way better plan for Smithers in the afterlife. I was talking to former guest of the show, Tom Puppet on Twitter. He was asking like what episode we were doing for 99, and I was telling him this one. I was telling him my biggest laugh this episode was this scene right here where Burns reveals his coffin with the compartment for a screaming crunched up Smithers.
I love that the fucking the what do you call that, the diorama of it or whatever that's called, the presentation of it had Smithers frightened.
Yeah,
he's not happy even in that moment.
Yeah, even in the concept rendering, he's terrified.
Burns asked for this to be made, and this is how he described he wanted Smithers to look. He's an employee. He's an FTE.
So good.
So he didn't even clock out.
It did look like
it. Payroll.
This is on the clock time. Oh God.
give his widow a corsage.
Yeah, poor Smithers. I mean, it's just him and his Malibu Stacey's. It did look like this kind of unnerved him too. He didn't seem happy about that.
Oh goody.
But what's the scam? You know, Burns find an heir to give his fortune to. That's the gimmick. That's the episode, folks.
Vast fortune.
And so now we can rate it.
I give it 69 interns.
Whoa.
What do we got here? Yeah, Smithers is buried alive. He was scared. Then we had the THX bit, for those 90s heads. Oh, you guys will remember that at the beginning of every movie theater movie presented to you.
Yeah, that's how you know you're like getting your money's worth. And they didn't put you in one of the cheap theaters. Because back in the day when this was new technology, they had like only the super big auditoriums had THX.
That's true. It's premium audio.
Yeah. If this was like something that was 1 or 2 weeks before it gets kicked into the dollar theater, you're not going to see. It's not going to be a THX experience for you.
Did, what's his name, George Lucas, did he like own that or something? Because I feel like I would always see it at the beginning of a Star Wars. Or I guess they just used that premium audio.
I don't know. They may be a Lucasfilms thing. I'm not sure. I get confused with that and Dolby and all that stuff. Yeah.
We'll have to ask George when we talk to him next.
Cinema heads, like if we have any listeners that do movie podcasts, they probably know this stuff. We're like more into TV shows, you know.
We only watch one TV show.
I did used to watch Siskel and Ebert though, so I dug the Siskel and Ebert the movie gag. If people even remember that, maybe not.
I did. The lobby gimmick too is really good.
Oh, where Burns in the little, yeah, the little trailer before the movie is asking for an heir and also advertising snacks.
For the people that survived the preview, because I think one guy died via head explosion. Burns had the lobby gimmick and he was dancing with the little crunch bar or milk duds or whatever.
Yeah, if any Simpsons meme heads out there are looking for like a new meme, maybe that'll do this one, you know.
It's a hard cut after that. They immediately goes because Burns was pitching to have an heir, and he was announcing where the interviews would be, the auditions would be at his estate.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a hard cut to basically all of Springfield bringing all their children in for child labor, for love for this old man.
Yeah, old man love tryouts, folks. It's very degrading, you know. This reminded me of, you ever see those like shows where, or like even the Little Miss Springfield, where it's just like you kind of have to stoop to sacrifice yourself or your child to something humiliating for personal gain in a way.
Right.
It was a gross thing, folks.
Or sugar babies or something.
Who was the first one up on stage? Was it?
I think it was Milhouse.
Milhouse, yeah.
He had nothing to offer.
But his love.
Same thing. He specifically said no geeks.
Oh, God. Classic Milhouse line. I don't think it barely gets better than this one, folks.
I really laughed out loud paying attention to like all the parents like pep talking all the kids before Milhouse went up. Like Wiggum was building up Ralph and telling him to enunciate and use a lot of energy in his audition.
That's true. This is the best parenting Wiggum's ever given, besides the thing about cracking a nut and cracking a girl.
Yeah, it's the same thing. That or like using his gun to take earwax out of his ear.
Oh, or eat like donuts off of. I like that gimmick. I think that was in the movie. That was a pretty good gimmick. Lisa is not interested in participating, but she does, like, I guess, as a protest move. I love Lisa's thing where she drops phallocentric.
Yeah, I was like, I wrote down phallocentric exclamation mark exclamation mark.
Whoa, yeah, look, mine is you can't even see it. It's phallocentric exclamation mark. The same thing.
He's like, I don't know what phallocentric means, but no girls.
Yeah. Fantastic gag. That's almost like a Far Side comic. It's so succinct.
So good. Nelson made the list.
Oh.
He really liked him.
Yeah. Martin was there, of course, because he's a goody two-shoes. Nelson got extra points for punching Martin.
Oh, shit. And I forgot that Milhouse came back, too, and tried to pretend to be a woman or a little girl.
Oh, yeah. That was it. That was when Burns said no girls, that busted his plan B. One thing I thought that during all of this, while they're selling out Bart, Marge is having probably, she's more invested in fantasizing about Lee Majors.
The climax noise, yeah. I guess, of her elevating.
She allowed herself to go back for seconds.
You just heard that noise again.
Muffled by her own skull.
It was very quick.
That was so cool.
Happened very quickly.
I mean, I don't know if that was in the script, but what a great gag that the second time when you're seeing it from the exterior, the sound effect is more muffled.
I know what the sound effect means.
They sabotage Bart, Homer did from the get-go with the shitty cue cards, right? Where Homer barely understands how to write.
God. That was a really thick joke, but I really enjoyed it. Like, I just wrote down, Homer is dumb as fuck.
Okay, boy. I wrote down exactly what to say. Just read it, and you're a shoo-in.
Hello, Mr. Kearns. I bad want money now. Me sick.
Ooh, he card reads good.
So pick, please, me, Mr. Burns.
It's Kearns, stupid!
No, it's not.
Disregard.
Oh, he's the worst yet. That's it. Everyone out! Except you, one step to the left.
Bart does so poorly, Burns assaults him with the series of the cranks that put into motion a boot.
The comical boot pulley joke? He's fucking turning the gear slowly.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Bart gets
booted in the butt. It's so enjoyable that Homer's getting a kick out of this on a comedic level and doesn't give a shit about his son at all.
Homer was still laughing as they were leaving. Like, he was smiling when they were walking away from it.
Even though it's, what, 5-10 minutes later and Bart is still, he has a serious limp.
They're all outside walking to their car and he's still smiling.
Damn, that's a serious limp. And he has even more words of demotivation at this point. Tells the kids, never try.
That's a good thing.
You know, if you distill Homerisms down to like their core, that's one of the big ones.
Okay, so Smithers was also tickled by it. Oh, and then I guess the next thing that you see is them thinking that there's a petrified bird through the window.
This is so clear to Burns so instantaneously, and he comes to such a bizarre conclusion.
Petrified bird. Like it froze in time for thousands of years as it came through the window.
Yeah, like space junk hurtling towards Earth.
Well, that's I guess that could be possible. Space bird.
I mean, it was close. It was the window's oldest predator, a rock.
A bird has become petrified and lost its sense of direction.
I mean,
I think it's a rock, sir.
Bad Boy Bart, America's original bad boy. This is not a gimmick that I would recommend anybody try out. No rocks and windows, folks. You're just going to get yourself into some trouble unless the building is abandoned or unless it's like some sort of super corporate structure, you know?
A friend of the show, Cole Battle, when we were little, threw a rock through the school auditorium window and then we just ran away like kids. Don't do it. You get caught and then you get in trouble.
But, you know, that's a good thing that he got into law so he could probably, like, dismiss the charges against him.
Yeah, he goes back and sues the elementary school.
I heard that in the final season of Doogie Howser, the TV show about the little kid doctor, he gets so smart that he learns how to perform brain surgery on himself, and he becomes a superhuman. Yeah.
Just cutting into his brain.
I didn't know they went there, but that sounds interesting. Check it out. But, you know, we really care so much about The Simpsons that it's difficult for us to even watch a different TV show.
It was funny that he knocked Smithers out with a rock. Probably killed him.
That's, in Burns' eyes, a very good move. What he's seeing Bart exhibit is absolute evil, right? Just everything that Burns cares about and, I guess, identifies with and embodies himself. So, of course, he's going to pick evil Bart as his heir.
And he's knocked out. And then I think from there we move to the Simpsons house. It moves quickly. Burns' legal team is all there, and you see the blue-haired lawyer. And they're having them sign the inheritance.
It's a pretty uneventful sort of procedure, except for when Homer tries to startle Mr. Burns to death, you know. Just like out of the blue, scaring him. He does almost make his father pass away, Grandpa.
He wants to get rid of that old man smell. What does old man smell like? Is it like Ben Gay or something?
I guess like death to Homer, right? People. Isn't there a later episode where they go and watch Mr. Burns' mansion, and I think he makes an old man smell joke?
A lot of old man smell jokes. When else? Did they ever sell Burns Manor, or was that Krusty? They're always talking about getting rid of people's smells from houses.
Old clown smell.
Yeah, the old clown smell. That's what it was.
My sister was just talking a little while ago about my grandfather's room, and my grandfather's rooms have an old man smell. It's universal, folks.
Also, probably like that pomade that they would use in their hair because it was very flammable and smelly. At least I know my grandpa's was. He would slick his hair back.
Yeah, a little bit like an auto body shop kind of smell.
Mm-hmm. Probably the best way to put it.
I just don't want to have when the second night people start like saying I have old man smell, that means like I'm going to have to stop associating with people. Yeah. Like move into a cave.
Well, you no longer get to smell me, okay?
Yeah. I cannot be a part of this society. I have to go live in a cave. Fortunately, I'm
perceived by you.
I'm mostly Neanderthal, so I think I'll do okay.
It's real.
Give it up for people who are mostly Neanderthal, folks. It's very cool. I mean, I think Homer and Marge suggest that because Mr. Burns is making Bart a big part of his life, that Bart goes spend time with Mr. Burns to, like, just get to know him, be nice, show his gratitude. I mean, these are all alien concepts to me. He's a little boy, right? He has to go with what his parents are asking, so he does.
Homer's mad because he wants to go hang out outside Chef Boyardee's house.
Yeah, what was that about?
Very 90s. People love Chef Boyardee in the 90s, I guess. Fast forward, Burns is at dinner, his giant, giant dining room with Bart.
Mm-hmm.
He said he could have anything he wants.
Well, because the whole thing was putting Bart on edge, right? Like the chair that straps you down. So he just kind of wanted to test Mr. Burns and order a pizza from Krusty the Clown. Personally delivered by Krusty the Clown.
Oh, he delivered Sbarro.
Krusty's favorite. It's like the most authentic shit from what I know.
Street. He calls him out on how he's there because his show's on live.
Oh, yeah. I think Krusty, I mean, this is something you probably could have gotten away with more in the past, but I mean, Krusty didn't even get away with it in the past, but on an old rerun, this was like, this is one of the least rerun things you can put on. Falkland Islands getting invaded.
Bringing up a breaking news of like a fucking war invasion for a very specific date. Probably not what you want to be rerun. Someone from Argentina, let us know what this Falklands dispute is, please.
Yeah, folks. Although I did find out about it from this episode of The Simpsons. I mean, I can't tell you how many times The Simpsons has been my source of information for something, but
that's how I learned English.
Yeah, well, there you go. I saw this thing recently where this guy said he learned English from Alex Trebek, you know, R.I.P. Alex Trebek. Please.
R.I.P. to a real one.
Rest in puzzles, King. Wait, where's the...
Damn, who's going to take over for him?
Somebody said LeVar Burton would be cool. That's the one I think that sounds like the most cool.
Oh, Reading Rainbow / Star Trek guy?
Hell yeah.
That'd be cool.
He's a presentation head. Ken Jennings, I think that'd be kind of cool.
Ken Jennings is pretty funny on Twitter. He's got a lot of good clapbacks.
Yeah, he's a good.
A lot of people.
He's a good on Twitter guy. Check him out, folks. At Eat My Shorts Pod. We subscribe to him or something.
Check out his tweets at Eat My Shorts Pod.
That's what he says. Like, we talked to him one time. He says before he does a good tweet, he looks at our Twitter stream.
And just copies it.
Yeah. He says it's like he draws inspiration from it. But it sounds like copies to me.
Yeah. It's like that silly guy. wait, so did fucking Burns have like a weird surveillance system in his house? He said he has hidden cameras planted in every single home.
Around Springfield, yeah. And they cut this scene out in syndication because when I was watching it, it was hitting me like it was a trip, right? God, what were some of the ones leading up to the hidden camera inside the Simpsons house?
We had Princess Kashmir hanging out. And I think I saw Jocks and Krabappel kissing.
Wow.
What else? Mo with the you're talking to me bit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, in the mirror.
Maude was eating ice cream, like out of the tub.
Damn. weird shit. I mean, and it goes by super quick. And we've seen some unseen cut footage from this episode that they showed in later episodes. What a trip. The whole Homer eating flowers, right?
We finally got to the episode where this bit comes from. I was like, what episode is the flowers thing on? His secret shame.
Yeah, like I know it more from the meme like than the episode, you know?
Right, exactly.
like the Krusty and the strawberries.
and Bart was super, obviously he's turned around on it because he's super gloating to everybody about all the cool shit he's doing at Burns' house. And he talks about the bottomless pit.
For all intents and purposes, right?
He starts throwing peas at Lisa because he saw Burns doing it to Smithers. He was getting it. Don't get out of the way of your wealthy brother's peas, please. He committed the cardinal sin of fucking around with food.
Yeah, abusing your family members is one thing, but feeding a hungry animal is beyond the pale.
He will not stand idly by.
So, hey, this is like the episode where Bart declares emancipation. He just gets the hell out of there and says he wants to go live with Mr. Burns.
And then he throws the flower. I was like, where did Bart get those flowers from? He just throws those flowers at such a good bit.
It's like a Bugs Bunny move.
Go eat some flowers. He like before he went home from Burns' house, he picked up some flowers just to have ready for this.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Mr. Burns, could you have Krusty deliver some flowers? I want to do like this cool bit when I get home.
Krusty's just a Bart delivery guy now.
He's exhausted.
So I think from this little family squabble, Bart runs away from home on his bike and heads over to the Burns house.
Well, apparently this was part of Burns's plan, right? He was like viewing this happening in the binoculars, and he says that he's very happy that Bart's coming back to suckle on his proverbial teats. And he gets his lawyers involved super quick. The custody case happens. And that's about the end of it, right? Like the Simpsons no longer have custody of Bart.
And then it becomes canon from there.
Mr. Lionel Hutz does a shitty job. He is in this, like, he doesn't barely feature, and he seems probably 99% of his attention is focused on the clogs he's repairing.
There's a fucking crematorium next to his mall out.
I mean, come on, you know, those places come and go sometimes so quick. Real fly-by-night shit. And you got to improvise, you know. If you can't find a, you know, new run of smoking monkeys, you got to repair some shoes.
You mentioned a part earlier that you said was deleted scene. And whenever I was watching this again, I kept expecting that whenever Homer went to go look for Bart at Burns' house and he wrecks his fucking bike with his car, I thought that they were going to unleash that Richard Simmons on him. But I can't remember if that was just a bit from the 138th episode Spectacular then.
You know, now that I'm not sure, I always, because I'm a gullible person for the most part, and when I was 10 years old, like, even more so. Like, I assumed that they were being straight with me saying that was an actual deleted scene, but maybe it wasn't, you know? I don't know.
Maybe that episode was in and of itself also a parody, and then they're just like, yeah, this is a deleted episode. Or deleted scene.
One thing for sure, our listeners would never hear us do a gimmick like that on our 130th episode. Absolutely not.
Never. Never.
It's not who we are. That's not who we've ever been. And that's not who we will be.
We would never do fake bids.
No, folks, please. It's a sincere sort of operation that we run here. So even when, like, there's emotional scenes of The Simpsons, we can be real people. You know, I mean, listeners know this. Viewers know this.
Puke our tear.
The viewers can see our tears in 4K. You know, and it's like we get sentimental and, you know, it's kind of a heavy moment when Bart is no longer going to be with The Simpsons. Kind of like when Marge was arrested. Like, there's some heavy stuff sometimes.
I mean, clearly, Burns is his real father.
Yeah, there was no question, right? It was beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Schneider.
That blue-haired lawyer, I mean, we don't get to hear him talk sometimes, but he must have put a good case together.
Did he try to sell that Orange Julius to Skinner while he was while Hutz was consulting The Simpsons?
Confident. Delusional and confident. He knew Smithers. I mean, he knew that Skinner was going to come back for that half-eaten Orange Julius.
The court ruled in favor of Montgomery Burns. I find that he is clearly the boy's biological father.
You know, they probably go, like, golfing together or something, you know.
Marge says the line of, we should really stop hiring him.
Well, you know, it takes a few years to kind of come to that realization. And a few more years to actually stop hiring him, too. Yeah, folks, listen. Speaking of hiring, we are hiring new interns, like Irvin says. You know, it's just like a real busy scene here at Gracco Studio. It's all hands on deck because we have a lot of stuff in store for you folks coming up for episode 100 specifically, but so many things in general. And speaking of things in general, folks, you know, life has so many strands to it. You know, it's a struggle to keep it all together sometimes. We are here as members of your community to help you out, to improve your lives and, you know, in a broader sense, the lives of everyone in our community, you know. We're all getting through this together, folks. We're looking out for each other. And one of the ways that we want to look out for you is by providing you with wonderful goods and services, things that we know are going to improve your life because they've improved our lives. Just ask any of our friends, confidants, you know, neighbors. They will tell you that their lives are better as a result of the goods and services that we've recommended. Some of them we're going to clue you into right here. I mean, our Patreons, they have, like, more insight into this stuff, so check it out, folks. But stick around. We'll be right back. We promise you'll love this stuff. The Simpsons are Fox. We got The Simpsons now. Every night on Channel 29.
Cool, man.
Oh, yeah. We got The Simpsons now. You can see them at a brand new time. You got it on Fox.
No.
You got it on Fox 29.
Are you a little star?
Will Grandpa Simpson?
Welcome back.
Let's get silly.
Ahoy, ahoy.
No sugar.
Welcome back to Eat My Shorts, everyone, a Simpsons podcast. This is America's Notch. Hello.
Hello, everybody. Irvin Castellanos back here. Eat My Shorts, the Texas podcast, episode 99 of both Eat My Shorts and of The Simpsons that we're covering this week.
Bullseye. This is a historic moment not only for you and me, Irvin and the Notch, not only for you, the shorties, but also for The Simpsons, and Mr. Burns. You know, we played this cover of Papa Roach's Last Resort. By the way, this is a cover from Rajan Dime. Please, I insist you check out his stuff on YouTube. And check his stuff up at your local Blockbuster Music, okay? But we reference this because, you know, we're talking about emancipation. Child freeing.
Little Bart. He's on his way out the door. doesn't give a fuck about nobody in the Simpsons house no more right now.
Yeah,
he succumbed to the cruel capitalist regime. He wants the room full of toys when the trains and shit.
Domination over the law, right? Domination over the police force. Domination over your own family.
The labor class. All the fucking plant workers.
Yeah. And just absolute just ownership of the toy landscape, you know. There's nothing that Bart will stop at to satiate his empty ambition.
Looks like he had ownership of Milhouse, too, at the minute. Trying to bribe him to stay with him in his cool toy room.
Like Adam Sandler and all his friends, right?
Yeah. It looked like a cool millennial workplace. It looked like the Greco Studio, like open concept room where everybody chills to get ideas.
This, yeah. Well, as you know, when I saw this for the first time as a youngster, you know, this was the dream. Every kid would want to live like this. You know, like that movie Big? That was like fucking the dream.
That's the one with Robin Williams dating Jennifer Lopez, right?
Robin? No, that's Jack.
Oh, yeah. She was his teacher.
Something similar, yeah. It's kind of, that was like a Mary Kay Letourneau kind of thing.
It was like a Mary Kay Letourneau. R.I.P. to a real one. I think she recently passed. She married that kid after she got out of jail.
Hey, but he divorced her later on, right?
Yeah. For irreconcilable differences.
No joke.
And it said, parentheses, I'm 15.
Yeah, poor everybody in that situation, except for Mary Kay Letourneau.
Yeah.
Folks, listen. This is a lighthearted Simpsons podcast. We hope you're ready to, like, you're all charged up to laugh.
Oh, listen. Parenting, what did Bart say? My parents use that old love excuse to screw me out of toys. Oh, no, Milhouse said that.
Yeah. Well, Bart does have it all. We get on many levels why it seems like Bart is living the dream. But Milhouse was kind of, he felt icky about it, you know? He was distancing himself. Even though Bart was going to give Milhouse his cool jacket. Or what was that? Smoking jacket?
Looked like a cool Hugh Hefner kind of robe.
Badass setup.
Bob Mackie.
Oh, yeah, Bob Mackie. He knew what it was. He knew the label. He's a label head.
He asked Bart if he wanted to be alone with his possessions.
He basically had to be alone with his possessions. But, you know, he was getting lonely. This is when Bart starts getting lonesome, homesick for his old family. So,
sorry, Bart.
That's my thing that I say!
Did you like this? Like, you mentioned, like, this is, like, where Bart started to get homesick. He's like, well, it's cool having all this shit, but, like, I don't have anybody to play with. And then Burns said that he will be his schoolyard chum.
Oh, yeah, they start doing, like, football and stuff like that, right?
Fucking Burns is wearing the football outfit from, like, 1920s, like, Yale University or something. Like
right when the sport was created. It's, like, version one.
Did you see Smithers' little smile when he's holding the football for him, and then Burns just knocks him the fuck out with his leg, and then they both pass out? Basically, Burns is starting to give Bart the attention that he wants, but it's from an old man. However, he does give him that Countach, give him that Lamborghini.
Oh, I forgot completely about this little segment where Bart is actually enjoying just having access to everything he ever wanted.
He told Burns that he doesn't know how to drive, and then Burns just told him to don't not worry about it because there's a Jaws of Life in the trunk.
He probably was like hopped up on Quaaludes at this point, too.
Burns or Bart? Yeah.
Bart when he was driving the Countach.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he was driving it as good as he thinks he was. We need to check out the real footage.
And this was preceded by him, like, just dragging his limp body into the car.
I think I saw him fighting with Jonah Hill before he got into the car.
It's true, folks. It's on the DVD if you check out the deleted scenes. Just another example of The Simpsons predicting it.
Yeah. The Countach. And he killed that elf that I think was... Wait, is this the same episode where that elf was also Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was a part of the settlement, right? Because he hit him?
We see this guy in this scene where Bart hits him with his car in Santa's Village. And then we see this guy about 1 minute later where Bart starts to get a little bit, like, homesick. And Burns, you know, having some sort of idea that this would happen, shows the family on his closed circuit TV family sitting there on the couch. You know, we know the couch. It was like in the introduction to the episode, you know?
Clearly a working actor has several roles, moved away from Santa's Village to also portray Lisa Simpson, who Bart has been clearly brainwashed by the evil and charismatic Mr. Burns.
Yeah, very deceptive. He's got this whole set of actors convincingly playing the Simpsons.
Sorry, MP, but I'm having trouble with this character. Is he supposed to have some kind of neurological impairment, like Rain Man or Awakenings? I mean, what the hell am I doing here?
And his dialogue has none of the wit and sparkle of Murphy Brown.
Hey, you know, we're getting into golden time.
Yes, we'll just get it right. We'll all be back doing Come Blow Your Horn at the Westport Dinner Theater. All right, then, let's see what the old Simpson family is up to now.
That's them, all right.
It convinces Bart, though. The second time around, take two at least.
Meanwhile, you see that Homer's dealing with this by getting a new Bart. I think that the fucking Conformico guy ended up, what do you call that shit, when you hypnotizing Hans Molman.
Yeah, he had, like, reprogrammed him.
He reprogrammed him.
Convinced him that he was the son of Homer and Marge, and he loved them.
Then there's a cutaway. I think this is where you were mentioning this. You see the cutaway of Bart and Burns watching TV together. And what do you say? That mouse butchered that cat like a hog.
No, I didn't mention that. I left that part out.
But, well, there Bart was already getting kind of tired of Burns again. And that's when he showed him the footage of the fake family. And then from there, I think we cut away back to the Simpsons house. And people are starting to do shit to destroy or, like, replace Bart. Like, I think Lisa's, like, tearing up the walls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this is, like, basically the last act of Bart as a human being. He's being fitted for a burn suit that is going to constrict him and destroy his spine to give him a mighty hump, like Burns.
There was a Blockbuster reference in there, too. To say that... I guess it was more popular than it is now. Still around.
Oh, yeah, because Burns is saying he's giving Bart everything he ever wanted.
Everything. I like that suit. I've always wanted a burn suit. I mean, not too tight, but like a crisp, dark blue navy business suit. It looks good. Maybe I'll wear it for the second round of EP interviews if I can get one.
Yeah, it's folks, listen, again, I'm trying to get a new suit ready for the occasion. I insist on a second round of follow-up. You know, I just want to make myself available for questions. And I want to provide more context on all the good points. I would say great points that I made in the interview. But, you know, when
you want to say if I do have a second interview, I will have a mightier hump by then.
Because Bart is the protege, because he is being molded in Burns' image, Bart needs to demonstrate this behavior, this sort of bad boy attitude that... You know, the reason he recruited Bart to be his heir, he needs to see this.
Let's fire some employees.
Damn. Okay. This is when the heir position gets real. I've never been an heir. I've never even owned a pair of Jordan Airs.
I've just had the LA Gears, the $20 Payless ones with the lights.
I like breathing air. I'm not really afforded that opportunity sometimes. There was a major gas leak in the studio the last couple of weeks.
This is real life. This is not a gimmick. It's behind the veil of Gas Leak at Grackle Studio.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is good to be conscious for the first time in a couple of weeks.
It's good to realize that, like, the disorientation was a result of, like, toxic air in the air.
Yeah, not just, like, some sort of degenerative mental issue. Gas, folks. Get yourself a gas detector. This is news you can use, brought to you by Eat My Shorts.
And if the gas detector immediately goes off as soon as you install it, call the gas company.
According to the package of the little detector that we got, it's the number one silent killer in America, or maybe planet Earth.
That's what's scary. What's scary is like the fact that like at least they add like a smell to gas, but like carbon monoxide is straight unsmellable, right?
As far as I can tell, Jesus, yeah. I didn't smell a damn thing. So yeah, good to experience air again, folks. But no, this is a air that I have no insight into. High risk. I mean, high risk, high reward in Bart's situation. He seems to have no qualms about contributing to Lenny being fired.
I was going to say, who's the first one up? It was Lenny, right?
Burns gives him the task of defending himself. If you can explain why I shouldn't fire you without using the letter E, you can keep your job.
I'm a good work guy.
Yeah, compelling argument, you know?
That's a good argument. I feel like just let him keep going. The hole in the ground. Classic Burns office gimmicks again.
Bottomless pit for all intents and purposes.
That's the pit he was talking about, I guess, earlier.
Yeah, in his office. and then the next poor sap in there is none other than Homer J. We know him. We love him.
Simpsons.
Hey, this is like a video game version of The Simpsons because he's led by a trail of donuts into Burns' office.
You ever been? I was gonna say, like, imagine getting fired by being led into the office with food on the ground, like you're groveling on the ground.
Oh Jesus, yeah. Hey, but you know, it does feel kind of tricky whenever they're letting people go because they always set it up with like a party or something fun happening right before you get canned.
It's kind of scary how like you're like, you don't even want to take a meeting. You're like, what do you mean you want to fucking talk to me for what?
I'm busy being employed by this company. Gotta go.
Maybe if you just ignore or like send them all like to call forwarding, you can never get fired if you never take the meeting.
Yeah, there's probably like a little feedback loop you can create that keeps them busy or unable to contact you for a little bit, at least for a paycheck to clear.
You put your out of office on. Just it says automated reply. I will see you next week on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, if you can keep it up, folks.
It was decision time for Bart. He had to pick between his old dad and his new dad. And his new dad is obviously Homer because his real dad is Burns.
Hey, we get a little bit misled as an audience. Like, you know, when you're watching a reality show and they make you think something's going to happen and then it turns out something different happens.
Like The Bachelorette or something?
Yeah. Like, we thought that Bart was going to fire Homer and send him into the pit with Lenny, but he's actually, when he says you're fired, he's saying it to Mr. You're Fired himself. Mr. Burns!
The originator of that term. The owner of that trademark.
Simpsons predicted it.
He goes, you're fired. That's how he says it, Mr. Burns.
And Bart even did the little thing with his hands.
You're fired.
Hey, but Bart is, he's already learned a little bit from Mr. Burns. Or maybe he had it in him all the time because he is able to convince Mr. Burns to move over a little bit to fire him one more time so that he can give him the trap door.
Smithers reluctantly followed him in there into the hole.
Good advice, though. Try and land on Lenny's corpse.
Went into the hole. Okay, so then they cut back to the Simpsons house, and apparently they knew about the actors, a good, I guess, loose end to tie.
Because they were, the British guy was studying Homer, like hanging around him asking questions.
Is that like a plot killer for you, or do you feel like you can easily explain it by, oh, okay, well, they still can't do anything about it because it's Burns, so they didn't try to tell Bart, by the way, it's a fake family.
Well, I loved it. I think the Simpsons are just so dense, they didn't put two and two together, you know? Like, they knew that some people were trying to figure them out. Maybe they just didn't, like, they didn't associate it with Mr. Burns.
Hans Molman's still around. I guess they ended up keeping him as a kid.
And he gets the smooch treatment here. That's for sure.
They smooch him. They were French kissing him, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of like a little Americanized French kissing, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Homer, I think he maybe was brainwashed a little bit by the private investigator as well, because he is clearly just as much in love with Hans Molman as Hans Molman is with the Simpsons family.
An Americanized French kiss, or it's like a close, but like the little tongue is still sticking out in the middle.
Yeah, like he's still jutting it out like when a butterfly sucks nectar from a flower.
All those screen caps of the little tongue sticking out. What
it's
was the
true.
One? Okay.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Mr.
More tongue content.
Homer Simpson, please. The French Podcast. Hello to our listeners in France. Please say hello.
We do, right? Yeah, there's listeners in France. There's listeners in Spain. We've been looking at the charts.
I think we hit in Norway or something recently.
Norway. Definitely some in Australia.
I can prepare this. I mean, this is probably the part in the episode where we should start getting our ratings ready. But
yeah.
while we're doing like that, let me get the. Oh Jesus, I don't even know.
Little Eat My Shorts world shout out.
Yeah, to like see where we've been like hitting in the charts lately.
I want to see you on the charts.
but any sort of like end, last thoughts, parting words, anything we left out that you wanted to mention?
Well, I do want to mention that this is the last episode before episode 100, so we definitely do still have a top 5, top 10 coming up, the last one before episode 100, and you will hear that next.
Yeah, and folks, we saw Lionel Hutz in this episode, so I mean, this is sort of why we considered doing this list.
Welcome back!
I agree with that logic.
Welcome back to the same episode of Eat My Shorts you've been listening to this whole time. This is still The Notch, still with Irvin. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Now listen. Oh, no. Listen. I will listen and stop talking.
Where are we here, Notch? America's Notch. We're back to our top 10, top 5 section of Eat My Shorts.
Yeah, we're number heads, folks. The Simpsons has contained so many pivotal moments that we as Simpsons historians like to categorize, organize, and evangelize the best ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, this week's list was a real thinker. I suggested it and regretted it instantaneously.
There's a lot of good moments in that list.
It's true, but like I think I was saying before the show, it's very difficult because it required actual, and when I say actual research, I'm not trying to belittle the research that we do on a weekly basis for our existing top tens.
Pour over the research.
But it's like I wish we had extra interns right now because it would have helped to have them go through some of these episodes. But this was a fun list.
It's probably because of the fucking subject too. Like, makes it a little bit more. You have to be more adept, and it has to be more. What do you call it? You know how legal briefs go. You got to have some meat on it.
Personally, I wear legal boxers, but you know, to each their own. But you know, this is a thinking person's podcast, so of course I thought about it.
We think about it.
I think people know this.
Eat My Shorts. It's the thinking person's podcast.
Hey, okay, enough with the applause, folks. We appreciate it, but we need to get to the top 10 list.
Please, calm down.
Yeah. We're like Pavarotti. We get pissed when people applaud.
So mad, just angry face.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, shut the fuck up.
My blood boils.
Yeah.
Folks, listen. Because like we took a cue from this episode that we loved, but we refused to rate until the end of the episode. This is a great episode in many ways. And in one way, we appreciate it because it featured Lionel Hutz. We appreciate the courtroom scenes in The Simpsons. That's why we've chosen this week to do our top 5 courtroom episodes of The Simpsons, or at least top 5 courtroom scenes.
Top 5 courtroom scenes. And I was going to say, in Eat My Shorts history, those are separate courtroom incidents.
Yeah.
The Simpsons history.
I plead the fifth. Please, my lawyer has advised I shut the fuck up.
Pleading the second.
I refuse to go first because I'm interested in your list because, like I was saying earlier, I'm pretty sure I left out a bunch of great shit.
So, starting with my top 5. Oh, and I guess we never actually put these barriers with us as we think of these, which I think makes it more fun, actually.
Yeah.
To see what pops up. The number 5 moment for me comes from the episode Bart Gets Hit by a Car.
Oh, shit.
So this is the 10th episode of the Simpsons second season. And I think it may have been the first time that Lionel Hutz appears, or I guess better known as Miguel Sanchez. And this is when Bart gets hit by Mr. Burns' car. And so it's like the classic example of like the ambulance chasing lawyer. And you even had the quack doctor, right? You had Nick Riviera in it too. It was just it was so comical, like the way that they were both lying about the description of who hit who or whatever, who was at fault, like the car of death, and you had like the cow catcher in the front. Or the way that it, like, they made it seem like him and Smithers were having like a really fun time with like beachy music playing as they drove. It's just like very bombastically like overboard, and I really enjoyed that.
I always appreciate when we do these lists and there are surprises along the way, because we're hitting a surprise right out of the gate here, because this is also my number 5.
Whoa.
I had some of the same thoughts. The first one with Lionel Hutz. Is this the one where he has like the business card that's also a sponge?
Oh.
Like, I always appreciate his little marketing gimmicks. His storefront in the mall.
Yeah. This wasn't the Orange Julius one, right?
I'm spoiling part of my list. I did not include Burns as Air in my top 5.
So, like, Bart wakes up in the hospital room after he had, like, that hey, cool, I'm dead situation. And Lionel Hutz is there with his big-ass grin on his face. And Homer doesn't want to sue Burns, but I think, like, Hutz is seeing money and wants that cash, that sweet cash settlement.
We get a really good introduction to Lionel Hutz that I think probably sets the template for, you know, this character until they retired him, put him out to pasture.
Did they have like a tribute, I guess, after Phil Hartman died for all the characters? Was Hutz like in it? I can't remember.
Not really. I think the only thing I really remember is a Simpsons viewer, and maybe they did something later, but I think it was the maybe the episode where Phil Hartman was playing Troy McClure, where Bart he killed the bird and then he had to like raise little lizard eggs.
Oh, right.
Troy McClure was in that one, and I think that was his last episode, and they said dedicated to Phil Hartman, but that was it.
And it felt weird because it felt like very, very late, right? It was like 97 or something, or 96. I can't remember when he died.
I think it was 98.
It's a weird, morbid fact for me, but he died on or after my birthday within like a couple days. So it was like 8.5 or something, yeah. And is somebody I really like growing up for his comedic elements and his acting is just great performances. The only reason I ever watched News Radio, because of Joe Rogan. And I just really miss him. The greatest SNL player ever.
That was sad. You know, when I was a little kid, I loved SNL, and on his last episode,
you're a live head.
I remember, because, you know, I used to stay up and watch that shit live. But yeah. Maybe it's because I was 9 years old, or maybe it's because I was up past my bedtime, but it was like a sad episode, and Phil Hartman's singing goodbye at the end, and Chris Farley, was his last episode too.
Damn.
And I was crying.
Did they pull him up with like Make Him Fly? No, they always would.
No, they did. They were going for sincerity, like when Kate McKinnon was pretending to be fucking Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
what she did, the Elizabeth Warren thing.
Yeah, SNL does sincerity way different now than it did in the 90s.
Check it out.
Please. Check it out, folks. No, okay, that was our number 5. We tied already, so this is already interesting.
Very interesting. It's like, how much further are we going to go down? We're just going to be maybe like matched up here. Okay, so number 4 for me is from the episode Margin Chains.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lionel Hutz killed Judge Snyder's kid, and it was also like the apparent, like you mentioned, like the comical like marketing gimmicks that lawyers have. And in this one, I think he had like a smoking monkey.
Yeah, one of my favorite. This may be my favorite marketing gimmick for him. And guess what? This is also my number 4. Margin Chains.
No way! Look, he's showing it for the visual experience. You might sure it is a visual podcast.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I drew a lot of arrows and shit like that, but that's
like because Charlie Day map.
I had to like move shit around. You know, it's like, I'm doing it in pen. That's how certain I feel about these choices. But then I have to move them around
in coordination with the reverse vampires.
This one was really great. one of the best gimmicks with the smoking monkey. But we love Lionel Hutz because he fucks everything up, and he fucked things up spectacularly in this one.
She gets she's found guilty, right? She gets to jail.
Oh God, yeah, God, and it's nearly unbeatable. But in my opinion, 3 episodes beat it.
So yeah, that's my number 4. Number 3 for me, unless you want to further expand on number 4 for yourself.
I don't know. It's just there's so much to appreciate in it. I loved it. I mean, I can't possibly expand on this.
So number 3 for me is a fast forward. A fast forward several seasons, and this is from the episode The Day the Violence Died. And it is the courtroom showdown between Roger Myers and Chester Lampwick.
Okay. Yeah, this is where Bart gets this animation cell from the android's dungeon, comes in. It's like the 11th hour Hail Mary, and it throws the case for Lampwick.
He throws the piece of shattered glass at the judge, and I guess... The judge catches it and immediately makes a sentencing.
Great Foley there too, because you get to hear the glass scattering around the courtroom.
I also very much enjoyed the constant fighting between Lampwick and Grandpa and Krusty and fighting.
Usually it's just, you know, Lionel Hutz causing the chaos in the courtroom, and here it was all parties.
Everyone.
it probably culminated more than a lot of other Simpsons episodes, but you know, the shorties are and probably the long-term shorties are probably going to get the biggest mind blowing out of this. This is my number 3 as well.
Whoa.
This has never happened.
This is not a gimmick.
I'm serious. Look. The Day the Violence Died, number 3.
I'm seeing it.
Oh God.
This is eerily very cool.
There you go. I mean, I don't know. I could take a screenshot. It keeps like my stupid Zoom background is taking it out. Yeah, The Day the Violence Died, number 3. Same thing. It was so pivotal. The whole, basically the entire episode kind of hinged on this scene. And it was funny because it created a lot of dumb shit that ultimately, you know, even though Bart was advocating for this outcome the whole time, it ended up not being what he was. It's like a monkey paw sort of thing, you know? It's not what he wanted.
Yeah, like too much.
Yeah. Fantastic. It's weird. This has never happened. This is unprecedented on these top 10 lists.
I'm like, should we stop at fucking 3 so it doesn't like ruin the prestige?
I don't know. Yeah. And that's our top 6.
Every single one so far.
I don't know. I mean, like maybe there's a good chance that if we don't get 2 and 1 exactly the same, that we're going to have them as different ones and twos.
So I'm going to give you my number 2.
All right.
Number 2, 20th episode of The Simpsons 5th season.
Okay.
1994. Bart hates school, basically having a Ferris Bueller type day. Already laughing.
Yeah.
He has a great hijinks, like Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer kind of shit, like wanting to have like a day off adventure, but also very Ferris Bueller-y. I really enjoyed the jokes here. Yeah. Long story short, I mean, the shorties know the plot, but Bard becomes a sole witness to the true course of events of bad little boy Freddie Quimby, wrongly accused of assaulting a waiter for mispronouncing the word chowder.
It's chowder. So contentious. So damn good.
Mean podcast.
Hey, man, I was laughing because this is my number 2. And I got to stop showing you my list because you're going to see my number 1. It could be the same thing. This is fucked up. This is my number 2 as well.
My shorts.
Yeah, great scene. It's one of the ones. I mean, come on. If you like, if you just like spitball on your rapid firing courtroom, great courtroom scenes of The Simpsons, this is way up there. I appreciated all the ancillary juror shit, all of the, you know, the Homer stuff, the mind reading things, the Skinner thing,
the glasses.
Damn, the Apu stuff. Yeah, there's so much good stuff with this courtroom. the blue-haired lawyer as well, but
Skinner and him being sequestered in the court in the hotel together.
Damn, yeah.
Skinner is saying that they're the odd couple, and Homer's like eating a giant sandwich and tells him to shut the fuck up.
He loves giant sandwiches. Hey, we all love giant sandwiches.
It's a sandwich heads here.
This is my number two as well. I'm having a little bit of a freak out.
All right.
Hey, so somebody in the virtual audience. You know what I keep forgetting to mention? I want people to join our virtual studio audience for episode 100. They should send us like clips of them cheering or clapping.
Yes.
To eatmyshortspot@gmail.com to be on our in our episode 100 virtual audience.
And they can also leave a voicemail too, right, on the Eat My Shorts studio line.
Yeah, it's 512-333-0420, folks. Check it out.
Generic number assigned.
It's real.
Eat My Shorts. Number one for me, Irving Castellanos, wow. Co-host of Eat My Shorts, a Simpsons podcast, also a Texas podcast. From the episode New Kid on the Block. And this situation is a very, very embarrassing situation behavior. Whom amongst us has truly ever been in a situation where they go to a buffet and they don't get all they can eat?
Wow. Yeah. Does this look like the face of a man who has had all he could eat?
Yeah. That was the B plot, right? It was like the big story on this episode was Bart's crush on Laura Powers.
Yeah.
Mo wanting to cut Jimbo but not kill him.
Jimbo's
chafing him. But the great B plot is the fact that Homer didn't get his fill and he gets kicked out of the Frying Dutchman.
And there was so much evidence. What a courtroom drama. Hey, I don't know. Like, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Better Call Saul is one of the best TV shows I've ever seen. But so much great courtroom shit. I'm not like a Law and Order head. I'm not a courtroom head. But I appreciate the creativity of both Saul Goodman and Lionel Hutz. I love the stunts. I mean, come on. If I was a juror, I'd be compelled. This is a big meme now. Marge, like, hiding her face with a huge mound of fucking fish in front of her.
Dude, it had been a minute since I had watched this episode, and when I fucking heard her as Lionel Hutz is setting this shit up, and then she's like, "And what did you do when you couldn't get, when you could?" Like, she's like, "We went fishing." This man was hungry.
I understand.
We went fishing.
She cried at the end of that.
Oh my god, how embarrassing.
Hey, they struck a deal.
Yeah, like obviously they win the fucking suit.
Man, what a great episode, what a great Lionel Hutz. Probably him at his most successful, really, if you think about it.
Victory lap. Usually you're seeing him, he's got like fucking shredded up newspapers or like a sandwich or like eating out of a second-rate dumpster. This was his victory lap.
Seriously.
Nipsey Hussle reference.
It's like, and I got to make a Seinfeld reference. It's like the time that Jackie Childs got that settlement for Kramer and he got to be on the cigarette billboard, you know. Like he won.
A good settlement.
Yeah, but he was like still embarrassed because like he wasn't in on that deal. I'm going to have to do a little bit of a drummer right here. I hope the people, if you like have ear sensitivity, put your earplugs in. This is a little bit wild, a little bit wacky, but we have fucking duplicated a top five here.
Holy shit. This is good boding well for episode 100.
New Kid on the Block is my number one as well. For the reasons we were discussing, so damn good. Lionel Hutz at his best. You cannot duplicate it. You cannot replicate it. You cannot top it. This is the best courtroom scene in The Simpsons, I think.
For sure, dude.
Damn.
Good. I'm so tickled at the fact that we straight up, like, I, like, Literally, we were finishing the episode, and we're like, oh, shit, we've been doing the top five, top ten, starting in, I think, episode 90. Leading up, we were wanting to have a top ten every single episode leading up to 100. And this is, you know, like, I think we thought of the topic 20 minutes before we started this. So the fact that, like, we are so calibrated in our head is, like, kind of eerie and kind of erotic.
Interesting, because like I told you going into this, I'm curious to see what your list is, because I feel like I missed so many, but it's very strange that we got not only all of the episodes in sync, but also in the same
order.
Yeah, the same damn order.
The same order.
This is nothing even close to this has happened with the top tens before. So cool to see this happen on our, what I guess is probably our final top 10. Cause next one is episode 100, huh? Wow.
Yeah. Next will be top 100 Simpsons moments.
Yeah. The whole episode is going to be a countdown.
Fucking orgy of Simpsons topics.
It's true, folks. We hope you took the day off of work. It's going to be a long one.
Get some rest, dude. Got to get that and get that heart rate going.
And also, speaking of getting pumped up, we hope that and you and me also, we should all get pumped up for the ratings.
But in a super tease, we'll give those to you in just a moment.
So I got a drum roll ready, and I'd like to say hello to. This is a global podcast. Hello to our listeners in Norway. We've hit the charts in Norway, folks. Please.
Looking at the fucking world map right now. Does DE stand for Denmark?
That could be either Denmark or Deutschland.
That's Deutschland because it's in fucking East, Western Europe. we've got Great Britain. We got Spain.
And Canada, I think we've hit some listeners in Canada.
Canada, hey, Mexico's showing up. Mexico's in the house now, finally.
Hell yeah!
Mexico and Brazil representing Latin America.
So we just want to recognize this stuff, folks. I mean, it's good to be building this community. We have a lot of stuff for all of you folks in, I guess episode 100 and beyond.
Very soon.
We thank you for joining the Shorty family. And also, if you want to be, like, a super friend, you know, hit us up on Patreon. So much cool stuff happening over there. Patreon.com/EatMyShortsPod.
And for your merchandise needs, the Eat My Shorts Pod merch store is available. We got some stickers and a lot of really cool Nacho Nova prints for sale.
That's true, folks. We got TJ Zaymart on TeePublic right now. Check out my Etsy shop, whole Eat My Shorts section to the shop. Prints, buttons, bottle openers, you name it, folks. Stuff it in those stockings for the holidays.
Masks. I just got the Eat My Shorts, the t-shirt. It's sick. Wear it around town. Get a shitload of compliments on it.
Oh, damn. I want to get one of those, like, face masks or something, too. I want to put up some new designs because I tried submitting some stuff for some other website, and they rejected my Devil Flanders. So I'm just going to, like, put way more into TeePublic.
It's a Christian website, it says.
That was so stupid. Yeah, come on. I have no respect
for...
Devil
Flanders is very macabre, but also very inviting. Like, he'd invite you over to his rumpus room.
Yeah, it's not off-putting. It's clean. Come on, folks. All right. So I think we've got some ratings. We need to rate this episode because a spoiler, I loved it personally.
Okay, yeah, let's do some fucking ratings. Personally, me, Irvin Castellanos, co-host of Eat My Shorts, the Simpsons podcast, the Texas podcast, I'm going to give this 99 single Delicious Roses.
Whoa.
Delicious.
You can't beat it, folks. And why shame, right? Where's the shame coming from? That's not something. We are a flower consumption positive podcast.
Yeah. We don't fucking shame people for what they eat.
So, interesting. This is interesting that there's been, like, some overlaps in this episode, but I've chosen to give this episode 99 petrified birds. Woo!
So delicious.
It's true, folks. I mean, it's episode 99. I think it's just a random coincidence that this episode was, like, 99 out of 99 on our scale.
There's a lot of overlap between the hosts.
Seriously. And the top 10, too. Jesus.
Top 10. Check out Popeyes for your delicious petrified bird needs.
Yeah, folks. We hope you have a good time with the holidays, but, like, you know, isolated and safe and not passing away from disease.
Check it out. Wait it out. and we can all hang out in person very soon.
Check out the show wherever you're on social media, at Eat My Shorts Pod. We're probably there. I mean, I think it's Eat My Shorts Podcast on Facebook. Listen, come on. Irvin is at Twitter. What? I'm at Nacho Nova. You know us folks.
America's Notch on Twitter.
Former years, and listen, may the best person win the vice president position. It's got to be one of us. Those are the rules.
I just want to say one thing. Just check out our tweets, but also check out Nacho Nova's fleets.
You know, you make a good point. And also, don't forget to check out our Instagram stories. And also our reels.
Yeah, reels. I still haven't fucked around with that one, but I will.
We're all about the reels. Oh, and our TikTok, too.
We do have a TikTok.
Yeah.
Someday there'll be content on there.
Woo! Yeah, you never know, folks. All right, thank you, Irvin. Thank you, Shorties. Keep watching the skis.
Kids, you tried your best. And you failed miserably. The lesson is, never try. Right in the butt. That was great.
My shorts.
Yum.